Well, we are in week two of our summer series, Camera Roll. And if you're just joining us for the first time in this series is sermons in pictures. So I went through my camera roll, picked out a whole bunch of pictures. I was like, ooh, there's a sermon in there. And let's see, do I start with the picture today? The sermon is titled The Wisdom of the Eye. Now, I think I actually start, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Let's start with the words of Jesus. And Jesus speaking to the crowds. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness." The eye is really important, according to Jesus. Now, let's take a look at the picture of the week. Yes. All right. Who knows what type of glasses these are? John?
Are they the ruby red ones from
X-Men? What's that guy's name? I forget.
Cyclops.
No, I'm not not Halloween costume Cyclops. Close. Ruby red, yes. These are blue light blocking glasses. You ever heard of these before?
Yeah.
Do you use these?
Yes. Nope.
All right, Adrian. Mean Adrian. Yes. This is a picture I took when I first got these glasses back in March of 2021. I have another pair that is yellow as well. Those are for the daytime. These are for the nighttime. Now, what do blue light blocking glasses do? Let's go one slide. So I'm going to try to sell you on blue light blocking glasses here this morning, all right? So what they do is they filter out the artificial blue or green light in order to protect the melatonin production. Melatonin, really important. Maybe some of you supplement with that before you go to sleep at night. Melatonin is the thing that puts you to sleep, and then it keeps you asleep. So you want melatonin. It's a really, really good thing. The problem is if we in the modern world are staring at screens, or if we are under lights that have that artificial blue light, our body thinks that it is still daytime. It thinks the sun is still out. And so it stops producing melatonin because it thinks, oh, it's daytime, we have to keep going. This is why our early ancestors, they would just gather around a fire at night, they didn't have lights, and then they would generally go to sleep much earlier than we tend to stay up these days now that we have Netflix and all those other things we do to entertain ourselves so we can stay up way past those healthy hours. So I picked up these blue light blocking glasses because I'm like, oh, let me see if these help me sleep better. I start putting them on when the sun goes down, and here's what I have experienced. I'm way more tired by the time it's like when I'm ready to go to sleep. I've actually noticed a difference whenever I put these on, depends, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. I actually even watch TV with these, which, yes, it filters out the colors. So if you're watching something very vibrant, you're not going to enjoy it as much. Just watching a baseball game, totally okay. You don't need to see all those colors. But I've noticed, I put those on within about a half an hour, 45 minutes, no matter what time it is, I am ready to go to sleep. But like 9:30, I'm like, oh my goodness, those glasses are really doing their thing tonight. What happens is, as I said, it gives you deeper restorative sleep. And I have noticed a difference from when I wear the glasses to when I do not wear the glasses. So these things actually work. So if you need to go pick up a pair of blue light blocking glasses, you can get like a really cheap pair if you want anywhere like Walmart, Target, LensCrafter. All right. And then I have this yellow pair, and the yellow pair is for the day. And I wear those because I stare at a screen a lot. I do a lot of work on the computer. And I put these on because they protect my eyes from the unhealthy lights that are being emitted from computer screens. And truthfully, I notice a huge difference with this as well. So if I have my glasses on, my eyes feel great when I remove them, when I start staring off into the forest or if I go and drive a car. If I'm staring at a screen and I do not have my glasses, my eyes actually start to hurt a little bit. They're straining more. So these glasses, they act as a protectant. They filter out all that is harmful to my eyes. Now, let's go back to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go one slide here. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. What Jesus, we can go one more. What Jesus is saying is your eyes are really, really important. That which enters through your eyes, well, it works its way into your soul, into your heart. If your eyes are healthy, there will be light within you. But if your eyes are unhealthy, there will be darkness within you. Now, I don't know about you, but would you rather possess light within your soul or darkness within your soul? I'm guessing most of us are probably going to say light, unless you're a huge Darth Vader fan. Then, you know, you might be a little mixed on that one. But yeah, within us, we all desire to have light. There's this desire for awareness to know all that's happening within our hearts, within our souls. Why am I reacting in a certain way? Why did that work on me in this particular way? And what Jesus is saying, well, hey, the path to your heart, the path to your soul, it's through the eye. So there's one main thing that I want you to remember this morning. If you remember nothing else, if you don't go by a set of blue light blocking glasses, that's okay. But I want you to remember this one thing. Be wise about what you allow into your life. This is what Jesus is saying here in these words. The eye is the lamp of the body. He's saying, be discerning. Be wise. Be mindful about that which you allow in. Because that which you allow in, it will lead you into wholeness, or it will lead you in the opposite direction, towards disease and darkness. So if there's one thing to go and do, it is to create a filter for your soul. Your soul needs a filter. Just like those glasses, they're filtering out all that is harmful. So my body can do the thing that it's supposed to do, rather than be working opposite how my body actually wants to work. It wants to create melatonin at that hour because it's time to go to sleep. And sleep is a really, really good thing. If you've experienced a bad night of sleep, you probably wake up the next morning like, ugh, I don't want to do anything. But when you experience a night of sleep, you're like, ooh, that was so restful. You're ready to go. You're energized. You're ready for the day. The glasses are filtering out all that is harming my eyes. The same is true for our souls. Jesus is saying you must create a filter for your soul so that you can filter out all that is harming your insides, all that could potentially damage your life. Now, this sermon series is called Camera Roll, so I decided to slip in another picture for us today. This is a picture of my AC filter. We had a lot of work done in the house last year. Putting a new AC system was one of the things we had done. I noticed it was dripping a little bit of water. It's up in the attic, and we had tons of mold in the attic, so I said, ooh, not going to have that happen again. So I called the company. They came. They looked at it, and the guy's like, oh, you know what's happening is your filter is clogged. There's so much stuck in the filter, and it's causing the thing to overheat and overwork, and that's why there's a little drip. He's like, I guarantee you that's what happened. Goes, he pulls the filter out. This is what we see. I'm like, ooh, that is really bad. And he says to me, no, that is really, really good. He said, if your filter's not dirty, well, then that means that all of your vents are dirty. Because it means all the dust and the dirt and the unhealthy particles are traveling through your ventilation system. He said, this is actually a really, really good thing because it means your filter is working. It means you are not breathing in all of this junk that the filter is collecting. See, we use filters for everything in life, or hopefully we use filters for things. We don't want to breathe in unhealthy air. We want to protect our eyes. We use a filter for water as well. We don't want to drink unhealthy water. I mean, there's a lot. We just had our water tested by New York State because they're like, hey, we found chemicals all around your neighborhood, and so we're going to test to make sure that it's not in your water supply. And luckily it came back negative, or really, really low, below the threshold. But if it were above the threshold, they would have installed a filter for the water. So we use filters in everyday life all the time to make sure our bodies don't ingest things that are harmful that could cause disease. But are we as mindful with the things that we allow in through our eyes? That which we allow into our mind? The stories, the words, the pictures, the experiences that we immerse ourselves in. Your eye, it's the lamp of your body. That which you allow in will lead you to health or to unhealth. You're all here this morning because you desire a life that leads to health, to wholeness. So the question for us then is, how do we create a filter? How do we create something in our life that prevents all that is harmful from entering our soul and damaging our hearts? Let's go one more slide. How many of you have used a Brita filter before? Good. So many of us know how this works. I used to have one. I would have brought it in, but we got rid of it because we have a different filter now. I have a picture of a Brita filter in case you're not familiar with this device. The bottom thing right there is the actual filter. And then that container right there holds the water after it's been filtered. You put water up there in the top, it goes through the filter, and then it's held there in the bottom. Then you can safely drink the water after all the unhealthy particles have been filtered out. Maybe you've noticed this. Many of you are familiar with Britas. Maybe you've noticed it takes forever for the water to filter through a Brita. I remember we used to have lots of people over at the house when Awaken was starting, and we had a Brita filter at the time, and everyone wanted to drink water, of course. We don't have too much soda in our house. And so we would go through everything that had been filtered, all this water already, and then we'd have to fill it up again. And there'd be like six or seven more people who still wanted water to drink, and we're all standing there just watching the water trickle through the filter. There was actually one guy, Alex Updegrove. He's like, I don't really care. And he just like poured the water in. He's like, I don't care for it to be filtered. I'll drink whatever's in your water supply. It's okay. But yeah, the thing about a Brita filter, it takes forever for the water to be filtered through. It takes a really, really long time to get that clean, healthy drinking water. So how do we create a filter for our soul? Well, it's kind of like a Brita filter. So I want to give you, go back one more. I want to give you here this morning two truths, a practice, and then two stories. First truth, how do we create a filter? Patience. Patience. How many of you are really good at being patient? Okay, more of you use Brita filters than are good at patience. That might be saying something about the world that we live in, does it not? Yeah, patience can be a struggle. How do we create a filter? We have to be patient. We have to move through life a little slower. We need to take the time. Notice that phrase, take the time to inspect. How is this working on me? How is this affecting me? How is this, whatever this happens to be, maybe it's a job, a book, a movie, a relationship, words that are going through your mind. How is this, everything in life, how's it affecting me? How's it working on me? Is it moving me towards health or is it moving me further away from health? Is it moving me closer towards the life that Jesus offers? This life of wholeness and grace and love and mercy that Jesus speaks about? Or is it moving me in a direction that is opposite all that Jesus exhibited and taught? It takes patience, which is a trait that takes a while for us to cultivate. It takes practice. A second truth about how to create a filter, it takes intentionality. And I know, many of us will say, I just don't have time for that. I don't have time to do that. My life, it's crazy. I'm here to there to here to there. Here's the truth. We make time for that which we think matters. Whenever anyone says, I get it. Like, we all have things to do. But the truth is, we all make time for that which matters. Last night, my basement needs to be cleaned. There's a lot of clutter. And I decided I am just going to watch TV instead of cleaning the clutter from my basement. I had time to clean the clutter, but I chose, I'm just going to sit on the couch and I'm going to watch TV tonight. I'll clean the clutter another day. You see this? 7 hours and 4 minutes. Anyone know what this is? It's the amount of screen time per day for the average American. Computer for work, phones, TV. We make time for what matters. Instagram feed, you know, all the things you do when you're bored and you're like, what should I do with my time? What should I do with myself? I'm bored. Let me get another hit of dopamine and I'll check my email account. 7 hours, 4 minutes. We make time in our lives for what matters. How do we create a filter? Patience, exploring how all that we're experiencing is working on us, and then being intentional and creating space in our lives for the filter. So I mentioned I want to give you a practice. Here is the practice for the week. Create a checklist of what you will allow into your life. This is highly empowering. This is you stepping into your power and you saying, you know what? I'm going to take control of my life. I am going to choose what I will allow in and what I will filter out. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When you create a checklist, when you say, okay, this is good, this is healthy for me, you are saying, I am taking control over that which enters my soul. Last week, I mentioned these two sermons would kind of be like a one and a two-parter. We looked at the verse of Paul last week about taking your thoughts captive. When you create a checklist, this is you taking your thoughts captive. And you saying, I'm not going to allow my thoughts to hold me captive. I'm not going to allow my thoughts to have power over me, but rather I am going to take them captive and I will have power over that which rattles around in my head throughout the week. And we've all experienced those stories and those thoughts which bring us down, which take power away from our lives. So how do we create a checklist? This was last week when we looked at 2 Corinthians. I mentioned this verse. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And this is the Message translation. I want to look at that last phrase. How do we hold our thoughts captive? Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. So what does a life shaped by Christ look like? It's one question. And a second question, I can go in the next slide. The second question is, why would I even want that type of life? Why would I want a life shaped by Christ? Some of you said, well, yeah, I want it because I follow Jesus, and so I want that type of life. Maybe you're not sold on that. Why would you possibly want a life that is shaped by Jesus? Let me show you why. Let's look at three verses. This is John chapter 8. There was a woman who was caught in adultery. She was dragged in front of a crowd, and the crowd wanted to stone her because she broke the law. So Jesus says, all right, anyone here in the crowd, if you're without sin, then you can start throwing the first stone at her. Anyone here who's blameless, anyone here who's never messed up, anyone here who is perfect, start throwing stones at this woman. What happened at this point? Everyone who held their stones, one by one, they slowly began dropping them, realizing there's been times in their lives when they were a little less than perfect. Yeah, we've all been there. We've all been there. And so Jesus says, it began going away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with this woman. And she was standing there. So Jesus straightened up and he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now, leave your life of sin. Go and live a new story. You no longer need to be held down by that which came before. Your life does not need to be defined by the places where you didn't always get it right. You can live a new story." So when we create a checklist, we can go one slide. For me, this is really, really helpful. Is this that I'm experiencing creating a feeling of condemnation or shame, or is it making me feel free and forgiven? I guarantee you, what you desire in life is that second half. You desire a life of freedom, a feeling and knowing you're forgiven. If there's any story bouncing around in your head, there's any voice, an external or an internal voice in your head that is just pounding you with condemnation or creating more shame within your soul, it's not of Jesus. And that's not the life that you desire. Why would you want a life that is shaped by the life of Christ? Because you want a life of freedom. You want a life where you believe that tomorrow can be different and that you do not need to be held back by that which came before. So this checklist, you ask yourself, okay, is this making me feel more free, or is this continuing a cycle of condemnation in my life? And if it's of condemnation, then all right, this has to go. How do I begin to purge this? How do I begin to filter this out? Maybe there's a voice that you need to just set to the side for a season. Maybe there's a voice and you say, you know what, I can't listen to this anymore. I need to let it go. So you need to talk with someone else about it so that you can fill that space with the voices that speak of your wholeness and the freedom that Christ offers. Let's look at another verse. This is John 14, Jesus speaking to the disciples, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." Who could use a little more peace in their lives? Same number of people who are familiar with Brita filters. Yeah, could we not all use a little more peace? I mean, how many of you, when you go to sleep at night, you want to just hit the pillow and just pass right out because there's a feeling of that was a day, and tomorrow it's going to be another day. And there's none of those anxious thoughts that are bouncing around inside. The life that Jesus offers, it's a life of peace. So is, again, another question, very similar to the other one, but is this experience, what I am subjecting myself to, the people that I'm spending time with, the things that I'm listening to, is it creating a sense of peace within me? Or is it creating more fear, more anxiety? Maybe we need to turn the news off for a while. I mean, my goodness, I turn the news on sometimes and I'm like, whoo, I gotta go for a jog. I gotta do something to purge all of those anxious voices that I just allowed into my life. Maybe we need to get off social media for a bit too, because we look at all these pictures and what everyone else is doing and we begin having this fear that, oh, we have FOMO, that fear of missing. Am I actually missing something? Like, life is better somewhere else. How do we create a filter? Well, we ask ourselves, is this what I am doing, what I'm experiencing? Is it leading me into the peace of Christ? A deep, deep inner peace that we feel within us. Or is it creating more anxiety, more fear? And if it's more fear and anxiety, then it's time to filter that out for a time. Let's do one more verse. One more way of how we are shaped in the life of Christ. "For my yoke," again, Jesus speaking, "my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who could use a little less weight hanging on their shoulders? Who could use a little less burden in their life? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we try to squeeze so much into that calendar, do we not? 7 hours, 4 minutes. We could use a little more yoga. A little more just sitting in silence and breathing or meditating on this verse for a while. So here's the question for the checklist. Is this that I'm experiencing, that I'm doing, that I'm actively choosing for my life, is it weighing me down? Or is it making me feel lighter? For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The life that Jesus desires for you is a life of lightness. A life where you're not just heaping one burden after the next and then just dragging your way through the day. Sometimes we harm ourselves by throwing so much on our shoulders, trying to be that strong person, trying to hold it all together. And Jesus is like, no, it's all right. You don't have to do that. You don't have to prove anything. My yoke, the way of following Jesus, it's actually removing the burdens so that you can live a life where you feel light and you feel free. So for me, that verse in 2 Corinthians, that has helped me tremendously in order to create a checklist. Okay, so if I desire this life of Christ, the life that Jesus offers, well then what does that mean? And then what does that mean for what I actually allow in and what I filter out? I don't want any of that junk here inside of me. I got enough junk inside of me already. I don't want to take on any more. So how can I filter that out so that my insides can be filled with life and with peace? And I can walk through the day with that bounce in my step and feeling alive, connected to the divine presence. The divine presence that is with all of us. But that sometimes we miss out on because we're just over there putting one more thing after the next on top of us. So how do we filter out all that is not leading us in the direction that we truly want? So I mentioned that I will share that I was going to share two stories about how this looks in my life. So probably about, and this is actually probably the first time that I even had any awareness that what I'm allowing into my life is shaping me and working on my insides. It's probably, I think I was in college. So it's probably like 20 years ago. And I was in a theater, just like this one. Although they didn't have the QR codes to scan for food, which I'm still waiting for the first person to order food in the middle of the service. I'm waiting for it. Because I know the kitchen is open, so you have all refrained so far, but I know one of these Sundays, someone's going to order the fries. So I was in the movie theater watching a movie, and I remember walking out of the movie, and as I was walking underneath the exit sign through the tunnel in order to get back into the main part of the theater, I had this like really weird feeling that what I had just watched was just making me feel off. Now, this was a very popular movie franchise. Maybe you've heard of the Saw movies before. And if you're a big fan, totally okay. It's all right. But I remember I went to go watch Saw 2 in the movie theater. And I walked out of the movies. I just didn't feel right. What I had seen was bothering me. It just made me feel... It wasn't that healthy feeling, like if your eye is... healthy, everything is good, but if it's unhealthy, disease, it was more of that unhealthy disease, like, what in the world did I just subject myself to? I remember walking out of the movie theater and I just said, I am not going to watch those movies anymore because I didn't like how it was making me feel. There was something about it that just was churning up my insides in a way that wasn't leading me more into peace. It was creating more of that fear and that anxiety, like, oh my goodness, who created this thing? So filter that out and said, all right, those type of movies, not on the checklist. Those things are gone. And then probably about 12 years ago, I had a friend and we used to get together quite a bit. But then some things changed in my life, and we didn't have as much time to hang out, to spend time together. And whenever we did, there was always, I felt like there was these expectations that were coming from the other side of the table that I just wasn't able to meet because my life had changed. And so things that were expected or how things were before, well, they just weren't a reality for me at this next season in my life. And I felt like there was just this, there was a sense of, well, that's not good enough. And there needs to be more. Why can't we go back to how it was 2 years before? And every single time I would walk away from having lunch or dinner or whatever, I didn't feel right on the inside. It was like a storm was churning inside of me. And then for the rest of the day, I'd be bothered by how the conversation went. Or I'd be thinking, okay, have I done anything? Is there something that, like, have I been a bad friend in this situation? Is there anything that I could have done differently? Could I have acted differently or said something? And after a couple times of this, I just said, I can't do this anymore. The rest of the day, I'm just bothered by the moments that we'd had. And I do not see this friend anymore. I had to step away from that relationship because it just wasn't moving me in a direction of health, the direction that I wanted to move in. It was actually moving me away more towards that darkness and the unhealth. And so I decided I need to filter this relationship out of my life. And it was a really hard decision. I still think about it. At times, I feel bad about it still. It bothers me. But I just knew that it wasn't moving my life in the direction that I desired to move in. So yeah, there's some things that we filter out of our lives, and it's painful. Because there's things that they're a part of us, and they've been a part of our lives for months or for years. But we just kind of know there's something, it's the spirit within speaking, saying, this isn't good for this season. However long that season might last, it's time to let go of this, to filter this out, so that you can live free and filled with peace and light, so you can live in the way of Jesus. So just like those blue light blocking glasses that protect our eyes, you need a filter for your soul, a way to protect your soul, to keep it clean and healthy. So this week, the assignment, I guess I'm just keeping one assignment after the next on you. So if there's too many assignments, if you're like, it's the summer, just if it's not for you, that's totally okay. Totally get it. Create a checklist and then carry it around with you. Then you ask yourself, okay, this is what I desire. This is the type of person I desire to be. Is this shaping me in this direction? Or is this moving me further away from the person that I truly desire to be? Let me pray for us. God, we come to you this morning, and I thank you for these words of Jesus, these words about protecting our soul, about our eyes being the lamp of our body, the pathway to our soul, to our heart. So God, as Jesus taught so many years ago, I pray that we here this morning would create a filter for our lives. God, that we would be people who would be mindful about that which we allow into our hearts. Everything is shaping us in a certain direction. So God, I pray that we would be intentional about that which we allow in, so that we may be shaped in the way of Jesus. God, this way that brings peace to our hearts, that brings joy and life, grace to ourselves, grace and love for others. I pray that we would be intentional about this. God, that we would develop patience to explore how everything we're experiencing is working on us. And may we have the courage, God, to filter out, to let go of all that that is taking us away from the life of wholeness that you desire. So may you lead us, God. May your Spirit lead us this week deeper into the life of Christ that is being offered. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.